Genesis chapter 3. We'll just begin there, and then we'll look at one other passage. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17. You hear all the pages turning, you know, that people are sitting out there with Scofield Bibles. You can tell which page they're on. And Adam, another Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, thank you, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, and thistles, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. We live in a world that's been subject to the fall. And as being subjected to the fall, we see things around us that deteriorate. We just know, for instance, our human bodies, you know, they're not what they used to be. On this weekend, a couple times, my wife was pulling out pictures to show people. They ask us about our children, and so she showed them a picture of our daughters and then of our granddaughter. You know, we always get down to the grandchildren. So got to the granddaughter. But in the process, she flipped past a picture of myself when I was stationed in San Antonio 32 years ago. And, of course, people look at that and look at me. They see deterioration, you know. They see that things aren't what they used to be. Young people, we do a bit of camp work, and particularly we have a college-age camp, and they have a hard time envisioning that there was a day when I used to be able to really run and play ball and things of that nature. But we know from our own experience that as time rolls on, things are not what they used to be. We know that's true with mechanical devices. We know that they take maintenance. You know, we just leave our car, we never change the oil, or we don't polish it, or things of that nature. It doesn't get nicer looking, and it doesn't run any better. It goes downhill. And we know that's true with, for instance, if you happen to be an owner of, silverware, and you just never put it in that little drawer with that little cloth you put over it, you know, to keep it from tarnishing, it turns black, and so you have to get out the polish. We know it's true with your house. If you do nothing to your house, things happen, and it takes maintenance. That's true with land. You know, if you just do nothing to your land, things don't get, the grass doesn't get mowed, you know, and by itself, and it doesn't look beautiful. Weeds come into it, and at least in our part of the country, dandelions really like to spread very quickly. And so it goes down. So all of this requires then a lot of maintenance. Maybe some of you here are employed in maintenance. And as we go around the country, there's obviously a need for maintenance. You know, this is true spiritually. See, this is true spiritually. Deuteronomy 4:9 says this, take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, here's the point I want to make this morning. Doing little or nothing will lead to spiritual deterioration. Doing little or nothing will lead to a spiritual decline in our lives. Go over to Proverbs chapter 24. A little lesson there. It's kind of very clear to see. I appreciate the water. We have an older gentleman in our assembly who has some impairments, and as a result, he's unable to do a whole lot, but it's his function every meeting to put water with ice in it on the podium. And I say with ice in it because that's important to the speaker that it has ice in it. I appreciate it. This is ice cold. But the ice lets you know it wasn't left over from last week. He has that function, and it's very much appreciated, and I appreciate the water. Proverbs chapter 24, and we'll begin reading at verse 30. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come like one that traveleth, and thy want like an armed man. This little story here, this little proverb, illustrates exactly what the point I'm making. That if we do nothing to maintain our spiritual lives and souls, they will deteriorate. I'm not talking about losing one's salvation if one is truly saved, see? But I'm talking about our spiritual livelihood and our spiritual health. It will decline if we do not take care of it and maintain it. In verse 30, there are two people who are described. The first one is referred to as the slothful. Other proverbs, and there's many, many proverbs that talk about the sluggard. It's the same person, the same thought. This is a word that means to lean idly, in other words, just to lean against the wall and do nothing. It means just to stand by, lean up against the wall, watch traffic go by, you know, and to watch life go by and do absolutely nothing. We would simply say it means a person who is lazy. Now, God has promised us that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. But that's in a future day. And He hasn't promised us that we can, because that's a sure thing, that we will be conformed to the image of His Son, that we can just sit back and do nothing now in this life, and spiritually speaking, all will go well. There was, you know, a group of saints in Thessalonica who were so, I guess, convinced that the Lord was coming, that they took the action of no work. They said, well, why should we work? I mean, the Lord's coming. Let's just sit and wait. And the Apostle Paul had to write to them and say, no work, no eat. Now, many people quote that, you know. Politicians quote it. It's amazing how many things politicians quote and people give them credit for when, in fact, they're quoting the Bible. And so we have to be careful. We need to maintain our spiritual life. We can ask ourselves some questions. And these are questions we need to ask ourselves. Am I spiritually lazy? Am I spiritually lazy? What about my prayer life? Is it what it ought to be? Am I spiritually lazy when it comes to prayer? Is it something that, you know, maybe I go 4 or 5 days? And when we speak that way, you know, some would think I could never get to that condition. It just would never deteriorate to that point. Well, there are those who would tell us that it can easily get to that point. How about our Bible reading? Sometimes we take time off from reading our Bibles, thinking, you know, we'll just take a little bit of time off, and we never really get back to it. Attendance at the meeting. Perhaps at one time we attended every meeting, you know, every time the doors were open, we were here. But maybe it's not that way anymore. Maybe things have kind of slid slowly downhill. Maybe we had good habits, good spiritual habits that have slipped and they're just not what they used to be. How about confession of sin? You know, sometimes we speak of confession, we think that's relegated only to the say the Catholic Church, when in fact the Bible talks about Christians confessing sins and keeping a short list with God. And sometimes we can allow that to slip and things decline. There's a second man here in this verse. He's referred to as a man void of understanding. If you have a New American Standard Bible, it may say a man who lacks sense. A man who's in need of sense. We would say common sense. Common sense is very important. When I worked in industry, I had opportunity to hire people. Thankfully, I never fired anyone, but I had opportunity to hire people. And we were in a situation where, well, all of the people who would have come into the positions for which I were hiring would have been college-educated people, perhaps multiple degrees. That, I was never impressed by that. What I was really looking for was someone with common sense. And it's amazing how you can be educated and lack common sense. And it's amazing how we can be spiritually educated and lack spiritual common sense. And so we have to ask ourselves, am I spiritually lazy? That's one question. Another question is, do I lack spiritual common sense? Do I lack spiritual common sense? We might say some questions like this. Where do I go? Do I go places that if I am really thinking clearly as a Christian, if I have good, clear mind, if I have common sense, I just wouldn't go there. It would not be healthy. It would not be helpful to my Christian condition and health to go there. Do I go places that are not really helpful or healthy to me in a spiritual way? What do I read? What am I consuming? You know, does it make sense to sit down and read books, we'll say, that are a little bit on the immoral side, we'll say? Does it really make sense for us to take that into our minds? Or what do I listen to? Does it really make sense to take into my mind as a Christian maybe some music that's pretty worldly? Does it really make sense to do that? If we're looking toward our spiritual health and maintaining our spirituality and maintaining our spiritual health, does it really make sense to sit there and allow that to pass through my ear gate and to fill my mind with that? But how about, what do I watch? Does it really make sense to sit and watch films and TV that's filled with immorality? You know, where people are either involved in love triangles and murdering people and all kinds of lying and cheating and stealing and all the things that typical TV shows today are filled with. Does it really make spiritual common sense to sit and absorb that? Is that really healthy? Does that really help me spiritually, or will it contribute really to my spiritual decline? And so here we have these two people in verse 30, but if you look at verse 31, you have not the people described, but their property. He talks about the slothful or the sluggard and the man void of understanding, and then he says, and lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles. And nettles had covered the face thereof. Now thorns and these nettles, as we read from Genesis, are the products of a cursed earth. You remember, God promised Adam, this is what will come out of the cursed earth. And that's why you're going to have to work to get your food, because you're going to be contending with these thorns and these nettles that are going to come out of the cursed earth. Now here's a spiritual principle that we can take, and as we used to say, don't say it so much anymore, you can take this to the bank. This is solid material. It's everyday Christianity. Unkept ground always returns to nature. Unkept ground will always return to nature. You have a garden. You do nothing to it. You don't go out and plant thorns. You don't go out and plant the dandelions. You don't go out and plant the weeds. But you do nothing to it and see what happens. Unkept ground always returns to the control of nature, and the weeds will come. Now that's true in our spiritual life. We do nothing for our spiritual life. We don't plant anything. We don't feed ourselves. We don't weed out the weeds when they first appear. And we just sit and do nothing spiritually. And after a while, unkept ground returns to nature. And after a while, we become, as Bill was saying yesterday, carnal. We begin to become natural. And things come into our lives, these thorns and these nettles start appearing in our lives, and we say to ourselves, where did these come from? Well, see, unkept ground always returns to nature, and that's true spiritually as well. You see, it takes no effort. All we have to do is nothing. Now, we also see that these things, thorns and nettles, are harmful. I'm not positive of this, but I think I was told that the Scottish emblem includes a thistle because somewhere in their history, There was an army against which they were fighting, and that army attempted to sneak up on them in bare feet. And they stepped on thistles, and of course they were no longer silent. And when that happened, then the Scottish army, of course, was alerted. And so they have in their seal or symbol or emblem a thistle. And you know, when these things, when we do nothing spiritually, and these things start to creep into our lives, and the thorns and the thistles start to appear in our lives, it isn't only that we ourselves deteriorate, it becomes harmful for other saints and other people. We start doing things, saying things that are harmful to other saints. And I had when I was a teenager, there was a fellow that I did most of my running with, and his mother always said to me, Stephen, and whenever your mother or someone said to me, Stephen, I knew I was in trouble, they would say, Stephen, she would say to me, Stephen, remember this, you never fall alone, you always take someone with you. And what she meant by that was, if you fall, you're going to take my son, see. And it's true that when we fail to maintain our spiritual life, it isn't just that we reap the results of that, but there are those around you who start to get impacted, you know, other young friends, other Christians that you associate with, a wife, a husband, start to be impacted, and they are harmed by these things. And so we see in the first person there, I believe, this is the land of the sluggard. And then he says, in the stone wall, verse 31, thereof was broken down. Now the broken wall, I think, is the wall of the senseless man. These walls were boundary lines between properties. And I think what happens is that when we fail to use spiritual common sense, the line of separation between us and the world will break down. If we fail to use spiritual common sense, the line of demarcation, the line of separation between us and the world will break down. You remember in the book of Acts, there was a man, a young man, who sat in the window. Remember the story? And Paul preached at midnight. And the young man fell asleep, and he fell out the window. I don't know if any of you picked up a copy of that little book, Pink, it says, The Beauty of Simplicity, yesterday. There's a lot of short articles. Well, one of those articles is entitled, On the Edge, and it's about this young man who was in the window who fell asleep. And the article asked this question, why did he fall out the window? Well, the typical answer is he fell asleep. Well, that's not really the whole problem. The problem was he was sitting on the edge. And as Christians, anymore it seems like the contest is this. How close can I get to the world without falling over? How close can I get? And we try to walk in this very thin line where we're kind of enjoying the world, but we're Christians, we don't really want to go that far. But there are Christians who have fallen asleep sitting on the edge. And they wound up in the world. And they wake up and they say, how do I get here? Because the line of demarcation was broken down. They were sitting on the edge. They didn't see the world for what it really is. God says, you can't love the world and love me. For the world is hostile to me. So how can you love the world that's hostile to me and love me? And so this, when we fail to use spiritual common sense, we start to break down barriers. And in fact, we think we can do it and get away with it. That's the sad part. We think we can actually accomplish it. Like, I can get that close. It won't happen to me. You know, it never will happen to us. It happened to someone else, but it won't happen to me. So we, in failing to use spiritual common sense, allow these walls of separation to break down. And then you notice, for sake of time, in verse 32, there's a process of learning. Bill McDonald was talking about yesterday about a brother who observed something, and he observed it, and as he observed it, he learned from it. You know the story of, is told of Newton and his friends, sitting under an apple tree, and the apple falls off the tree. His friends, all they saw was an apple falling. Newton saw more than that. We call it today the law of gravity. Newton observed more than just an apple fall. And he, you know, in his mind, he said, why'd the apple fall? Why didn't it go up? See, we just take for granted, don't we, the law of gravity. We drop something, we assume it goes down. So he began to think, well, there must be a law here. The fact that it dropped means something is pulling it, or they're, you know, whatever. So he saw more. He observed. You know, as Christians, it's amazing what we can learn if we're observant, just going through life. We can learn tremendous spiritual principles from things that we observe physically. In fact, this was common as we would, our children were younger. We would ride, they would ride, and many times I would use something that I would see to make a spiritual application. You can do that if you have young children. You're riding in a car. You see something. You can make a spiritual application from that. And these are illustrations many times that stick because there's that thing that they can see in the principle. So this man says, notice he was observing. He said, I saw. The observation. You know, the Bible encourages us to observe good men. The Bible encourages us to look around for good, godly men and women and observe them. Watch them. Learn from them. Learn from their consistency. We're also to learn from bad men and women. We're to observe what Christ's sin takes. But notice then the thought of meditation. I saw it, I considered it, I looked upon it. See, there's this meditation, there's this thinking. It's been said men will go to all lengths so as not to have to think. Now, you know today that one of the primary industries in the world today is what we call the pleasure industry. And you know, because you have a park up here next to the Astrodome, an amusement park we call them amusement parks. Well, the word muse means to think. If you're going to muse on something, it means to think. The letter A as a prefix means not or no. So an amusement park is a place where there is no thinking. That's exactly what the word means. So amusement is so great today, and there's so little time given to thinking and meditating. You know, my father worked for Bethlehem Steel in central Philadelphia for a few months short of 50 years. So for 50 years, he got on the subway. He took a bus and then got on the subway, and eventually the subway came out to where we lived, so he took the subway. And he had a little Bible in his pocket. He would read for the first two or three stops, close it, put it back in his pocket, and just sit there like this. And everybody thought he was sleeping. Sure enough, when his stop came, he got off. For 50 years, he meditated every morning, every night, riding back and forth on that subway. And he could talk to you about the Lord Jesus. He could talk to you about the tabernacle. He could talk to you about the high priest. And he could tell you all the things and all the beauties he saw in those things concerning the Lord Jesus. You know why? Because he took time to think. And it takes time to think. And as Christians, one of the things that is happening in the church today, we're moving at such a speed and such a pace, and all that's around us to amuse us, that we take no time to think. And quite frankly, that's not good for our spiritual health. We need to have time just to sit and think about spiritual things. To sit and think about things we've read. To think about things that we've heard. And so this man was a thinker. He observed and he thought. And then he drew conclusions. And here are the conclusions he drew. Verse 33. What he saw was this. Neglect is never planned. Neglect is never planned. You haven't sat down, and you did not come here today, and you have not pre-planned that on Wednesday 12 noon, you're going to start a spiritual decline. And come Wednesday 12 noon, you're just going to stop praying and stop reading. It doesn't work that way. You don't sit down and plan out your spiritual neglect. It begins with little surrenders in daily decisions. Little surrenders in daily decisions lead to this unplanned neglect. That's what he means here. Just a little sleep, a little slumber. I have the ability to fall asleep very quickly. I can sleep for 20 minutes, and I will do this sometimes one or two times a day. And then I can just get up and go again. But sometimes, you know, I lay down thinking it'd be 20 minutes later, I wake up, and it's 2 hours. It doesn't happen too often, but it does. Now, spiritually speaking, you know, sometimes you think, I'll just lean back and fold my hands. And it'll just be a little nap, you know, a little spiritual nap. I don't think I'll go out to meeting tonight. You know, in our neck of the woods, we would say a snowflake came down. I don't think, you know, I'll go to meetings, and I'm tired, I work hard all day. You know, that's the beginning. You see, that's that first little decision, and then maybe that Sunday night, Wednesday night rolls around, you know, it wasn't so bad Sunday night. You know, I kind of enjoyed being able to relax, and then you don't intend it to become a permanent habit. You intend just to have a little spiritual break. And before you know it, neglect sets in. Neglect is rationalized. The Bible says the sluggard is wise in his own eyes. You know what that means? That means we begin to justify, we begin to explain and support why we're spiritually lazy. Why we're letting these things slide. Like the snowflake fell, and it's raining, and I've been working hard, and the kid's been screaming all day, and we begin to support this decline. The Bible says, the sluggard says, it's too cold to plow. Well, why did he wait so long to plow? Why didn't he plow when it was a lot warmer before that? Because he procrastinated. And now it's got to the point where it should be plowed, and he says it's too cold. This happens in our life. So neglect is never planned. Neglect is rationalized. Neglect eventually leads to ruin. And that's the point of verse 34. Poverty comes like one that traveleth. You ever travel? Well, I was telling one brother, we can leave York, PA at 5 in the morning and be in Florida at 9 at night. Straight down the East Coast, I-95 all the way. Once I get out of York, I got 2 stoplights between myself and the interstate, and I can go from York to Florida with 2 stoplights. But it seems like it's forever. You know, you drive 5 in the morning till 9 at night, it's a lot of driving. And it seems like you'll never get there. But eventually, you do. And this is the way it is with spiritual neglect. You don't think you'll ever get to a place that's really down, far away, spiritual decline. You know, given time, you eventually get there. One step at a time, the decline begins. And over time, you know, there are saints who have wound up in very, very sad conditions. And they'll tell you it didn't happen overnight. And it started back when I kind of skipped that meeting, and then I skipped this, and then da-da-da. And over time, I got there. And lastly, neglect leads to captivity. You know, the lazier we get, the more captive we become to being lazy. The harder it is. You know from experience, a 15-minute job, if you let it go, becomes an hour job. And we become captive to being lazy. We get used to being lazy, and now that 15-minute job just seems so big, I don't even want to do it. That's what he means by an armed man. So here's 4 points. Neglect is never planned. Neglect is rationalized. Neglect eventually leads to ruin, and neglect leads to captivity. What's the solution to all this? Keep thy heart with all diligence. Don't stop. Don't think you can take a break. Don't fold your hands for a little bit of sleep. Let's close in prayer. Gracious God and Father, we thank you for these admonitions that your word gives us. Lord, we pray that we might ever be alert to spiritual deterioration and decline in our lives. Help us to see the early signs. Help us to see the rationalization and the laziness and the habits beginning to slip. And Lord, just keep us alert to the point where we are faithful in your word and prayer and with the saints, and that we maintain our spiritual health through these graces that you have given us. We thank you for the warnings, and we just now commit thy word to thee. Pray that in our lives it would be a very practical thing day by day. And we give thee our thanks and pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ.